Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence once again today. Being in your presence is what we enjoy, the source of life. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Understanding is our portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
More and more like Jesus Christ, that's what we are becoming in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Before you sit down, please open your Bible to the book of Psalms 119. Let's just read this together and then we'll sit down, we'll share some word. Psalm 119. We ended last time in verse 144, and I want us to just pick up from there quickly. We'll start from that 145 today, and I think we'll just read it to the end. And we're taking many of the segments now because a lot of things have been repeated again and again. And I want us to remember that the reason why these things have been repeated in different words, in different manners, is because these are the most important things for Christians to note. All right, that's why the title of the series is The Most Important Prayer. We can ask for many things in life. God can come to us like He came to Solomon and say, ask for anything. Don't ever forget, this is the most important thing that you will ask for. Under it, there are so many fragments of it. Lord, make sure my life is conformed to your purpose. Make sure I'm walking according to your will. Make sure I'm obeying your instructions. Those are the things you ask God for. And that's what we call the most important prayer. All right? Under it, we can break it down to those different aspects. So let's continue that. Psalm 119, verse 145, as we've been doing. I read the verse, you read the next one. You hear my voice in the background so that it will be clear to those who are listening to this and the recording. All right, from verse 145. I cry with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe thy statutes. 146. I cry to thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. In 147 it says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for thy words. 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on thy word. Please note that David said, my eyes anticipate the night watches. That is, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. I stay awake through the night meditating on your word. That's what it says, and that's what we are supposed to do as believers, not stay awake through the night fighting enemies. 149, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. 150, those who follow after wickedness draw near, they are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. 152, of old I have known from thy testimonies. Thou hast founded them forever. All right, the Lord is good. Okay, we'll continue reading. I just wanted to emphasize a few things here. I know before we explained last time that the last time we spoke was I extracted many verses on how to respond at the time of, you know, attack and the time of, I don't use the word affliction now, of people coming up against you. When what do you do in a time of strong opposition? Don't ever forget it. Satan has just one assignment. He has just one assignment. Just one. And that is to just take your eyes away from God's word. In the beginning he came, as God really said, it's what God says that he challenges. Are you getting my point? As God said, thou shalt not, it's what God says that he challenges. So if you see any opposition in your life, watch out. It is what God says that that opposition is trying to take you away from. It's not that it will take you away from your money. Oh God, may we get ministry right. This one of staying, fighting for your money, fighting for your goods. You don't understand what Satan is looking for. He's not looking for your money. When he went after Job, he was not interested in Job's money. He was not interested in Job's children. He was not interested in Job's businesses. He was not interested in Job's life. He was interested in just one thing, that Job will stop speaking according to the word of God and obeying God's word. He just wanted Job to start doubting God. That was all. And God said, all right, let's let the battle begin. And they fought and fought and fought. They were not fighting about the children. They were not fighting about the money. They were not fighting about the businesses. They were not fighting about his health. They were fighting about his adherence to divine precepts. That's all. So don't ever forget it. All right? So when opposition comes to you, you know, we study from Revelations. In every trial, God wants to qualify you for the next level. And Satan wants to ensure that you are disqualified from the next level. Please be willing in life to lose material things. It's a passport to gaining eternal things. Did you hear what I said? That's what it is. It's a passport to gaining eternal things. You know, when I was reading my Bible again, I realized some of the commandments that Jesus gave, believe me, they are crazy. No, naturally speaking now, they are crazy. So if a man asks you to give him 200 naira, say give him 500. It wasn't just somebody walking on the road asking you, please give me money. Jesus was talking about something else. What he was trying to say is that, listen, there's contention in the family. Your brother says, this portion of the land is my own. You say, no, that was not what our father said when he was alive. And quarrel begins. Court case about to be filed. Are you getting my point? No physical fight is about to start. Jesus said, give him the whole land. Jesus said, give him everything. So he's fighting over what, you just look at it, comes to maybe like 200 square meters. 150 square meters. Tell him, do you want everything? And you're talking about 1,000 square meters. It's okay, let there be no quarrel. All right. This 150 square meters is what we're quarreling over. No problem. The one that's remaining that's mine without any contention is 850. All right. I will give you 350 of that one so that this quarrel will be permanently over. That is, I'm cutting mine in half. Take everything. Do you know that's what Jesus prescribes? Why would he prescribe such madness? I told you the story about R.G. Lutono, who went into business with a Christian, a member of the same church. The business was not doing well. The man came to him and said, we are not doing well because you put your family members on the job. And these guys were working for him before they went into partnership. All right? So it's not, I mean, and he said, I employed my family, that is, you know, in-laws, cousins, stuff like that. Because he said, they are with me, they love me, they understand. Sometimes I don't pay them on time. They don't quarrel because they know if I had the money, I would pay. And for me, it's been wonderful working with them. This guy said, it's because they are your people. That's why we are not making money. So the Tuno removed all of them, and they recruited new people and put them on the job. And then God gave him another job somewhere else. So he moved those ones. Okay, go and execute the other contract. Let me stay with this. Make a long story short, this contract ended, and they didn't make any money. They just managed to break even. Everything is zero. But the other job he moved these people to, they did well. And he made money on that one. This brother came to him and said, I heard this other contract did very well. He said, we thank God for that. He said, well, we were in partnership during that period, so half of the profit is mine. Thank you very much. I like the way you responded. Lutuno, his head exploded. What did you say? First, I moved my core staff away from this, our joint business, because you couldn't stand them. God opened a door so I had a place to put them while you and I worked on this. They worked on that, all right? And then that, God bless you. You're saying it's yours? Like I said, yes, it is mine, half of it, because we're in partnership on this other job. Lutuno said, you're not getting it. He said, in that case, I'm going to sue. He said, go ahead, sue. I'll see you in court. As he turned to leave, the Holy Spirit said to him, give him the money. I like the way you are responding. Because that's exactly how I responded. I closed the book, so Holy Spirit, you can't be serious. Now, this matter that happened decades ago, I'm still vexing today. I said, no, God, I will not agree. I'm not agreeing on his behalf. Nobody's asking me for money. I'm not agreeing. I reluctantly continued reading. The man turned. He said, Holy Spirit, give him the money. He just, you know, there are things, you know, your mind couldn't have told you. The thought dropped in his mind strongly was the Holy Spirit. Give him the money. What? Which money? Who is who anyway? Give who the money? Grudgingly, he obeyed God. The man didn't know how much he made. He declared it by himself. He could have lied and said, okay, all we made was, let's say, just for those times, $50,000. And when it was 100, he showed the man the documents, everything. At the end of the day, my profit came to 95,000. I'm just as an example. Spread it down the middle, wrote the man a check. And the man collected it. Please, there are monies you shouldn't collect. It's not good for you. You shouldn't collect some monies. That guy foolishly collected it. 2 years after, he was permanently out of business. Completely. He was wiped out, did not remain in business. But his brother, Lotono, kept on waxing stronger and stronger and stronger. All this Christianity that only gives to you is not the balanced Christianity. The real Christianity first takes everything from you, collects everything from you. By the time it's given to you, you don't even want it again. Because you know, so they go give person, collect them again tomorrow. That's, you know, I always argue against this doctrine. He give and God will give to you. I say, you don't know God. He's setting you up for something else. When he gives to you, he comes tomorrow and says, that thing I gave you yesterday, who am? That's how God does it. So don't be hurry for, if I give now, he'll give to me. No problem. So give. Then I give to you. Then as soon as you are going home rejoicing, oh, he has given to us. You know God is for you. You leave this place. By the time you get home, he's there in your sitting room. Ah, Lord, when did you get here? I thought I left you in the bank where you settled me. Yeah, I came to collect what I gave to you. We have need of it again, another level. Christianity is not a thing that on this earth you'll ever settle. No. The reward for faithfulness is more work to do. That's how God does his thing. Your faithful increases the assignment. When we misinterpret, when we misunderstand, that's what we think that this person has been settled. If you give ₦1,000 today, and God actually does what many people claim he would do, he doesn't do it like that anyway, but let's just assume the pastors are correct, and he now gives you back ₦50,000. You know why he's doing that? Since you have been so faithful in giving out 1,000, you look like you know how to give out 50, so he gave you 50. Then he's queuing up waiting for the 50 again. If you do that one, it keeps, and I don't think that one day I will not have to spend, na lie. He will collect it all the days of your life. People will be watching you from outside, say, that guy is made. But that day went to church, or he went to one place, he went and God gave a check for 200 million. When a man gives 200 million, do you know how much he has? Praise God. You don't know that he's giving 200 million, he's vex. Say, Lord, take, collect every person, not even get change. As a man, I read the story in a book, Kicked Out of the Kingdom. That's how he was. He was a grumbler. He liked to grumble, but he always obeyed the Spirit. He knew the voice of the Spirit and he always obeyed. He was a giver. The Bible says, there's he that giveth. He used to give. One man wrote the book, one day his car tires were all flat, worn out. He was saying, Lord, send me tires. Now I need tires. Next thing, he got a knock on the door. This guy showed up. So I think you need new tires. I brought you 4 new tires. He said, I was just praying, and God just answered my prayer. The guy said, yes, that's how I answer people's prayers, using me. He never answers my own. I'm telling you. The guy said, you're not even happy. Say happy about what? When I don't have tires, he doesn't send anybody, but he sends me all over the place, giving other people tires. This was how he complained. And the man was saying that, I wish this man would be more joyful. He was very faithful with his assignment, too. But you're just wondering why God does not give to him, but only sending him to give to other people. You know, I understand spiritual things. And I said, look, that's how life is. If you want God to give to you, the way the other people are praying, you too pray properly with sincerity.
Yeah.
Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Very important to understand what this Christianity is about, though. Let's get it clear. Christianity is about being totally devoted to the Lord. 100%. Deriving our joy in obedience to his word. Now, I began by explaining that, look, so Satan knows all of these things. He starts offering us distractions in life. You know, we start doing things hoping that we'll get and one day, we'll be settled. No. God just makes us faithful in life. All the day of reward, I don't know that is coming, but it's not on this earth. In this earth, it's faithfulness that is just being amplified. Are you getting my point? Yes, you give ₦1,000, God gives the ability to do some more, not ability to enjoy. Based on that, no. It gives everybody, based on faith, the ability to enjoy. Based on faith, it gives us the things that we need. But those issue of give, receive, is a work of faithfulness. That's what we're participating in. So what's most important anyway, back to what we're saying, is that we don't fall for the distractions of life, that we don't let Satan distract us from anything. Now, I was saying all of that, I gave that example of Rutuno to show that, listen, Christianity can be tough. You understand? It makes demands, not always collecting from us. So it's not always giving to us. Many times he collects. Many times he collects. Don't you know? God collected, but God increased him because he was faithful to that word. All right? And then that's the man I told you that one day he sold his company, big industry, and gave out everything. Yeah. That's what he did. He sold his company one day in the early 70s, and gave out everything. Just said, okay, go and use for missions. And he just gave out all the money. So that increase that God gave him, you saw where he went to. The Lord is good. So what's most important, all right, is that we stick with the word. Like I said, we're willing to lose material things. That is how we gain eternal things. The Lord is good. So let's continue reading. That's why we'll be reading this, all right? From 145, David said, I will obey observe thy statutes. These are prayers. Don't forget. These are prayers. I cry to thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. That is, I will continue to hold on to your instructions. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for the fulfillment of your word. All right? Okay, I wait for thy words. Also can be applied that way. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I stay up throughout the night. I meditate on thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from thy law. All right, let me just go to 153 now. Say, look up. Now you're going to read 154. 153 says, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. 154. Lead my course and redeem me. Revive me according to thy word. 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek thy statutes. 156. Greater thy mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to thy ordinances. Many are my persecutors who have looked at this before, and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from thy testimonies. I beheld the treacherous and loathed them. Consider how I love thy precepts. Now please follow this. And that's what I'm going to conclude on, this issue of love for the precepts. Consider how I love thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The sum of thy word is true, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting. Everything God says is for your good. That's the meaning of the sum of thy word is truth. That is, my explanation I give all the time is if Samsung says, don't put this in water, please don't put it in water. They mean it. It's not a joke. Don't put it in water. If you buy an equipment, you buy your car, they say don't put petrol in the radiator and don't put water in the fuel tank. Believe them. They're not joking about it. That is the truth. And that truth is for your own good. That's what he was saying here. All right, 161. Princes persecute me. We have looked at this. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds grace for. Read that again. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds grace for. Let me just read that in the New Living Translation. I rejoice in your words like one who discovers a great treasure. You know when you know you're a real believer? When you're excited, when you hear the revelation of the word of God. And you know, like, if you're going on the road now, and somebody stops you and says, the Lord laid it upon my heart to give you 1 million naira. You will have collected it before you ask, what's your name? And you will go, oh, praise the Lord. We'll come to church and testify. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I was just going on the road that day. Testimony. And everybody said, the word is working. You see, rejoice. Everybody will clap. But you know, we don't remember to come and testify. If anybody has a testimony, you say, brethren, yesterday I listened to one message. And finally, I understood what Solomon was saying here. And instantly, I realized that I needed to apply my life to it. Praise the Lord. The most brethren will look at, so what happened? Then what? You know, we don't understand that that's the end. For us, what do you now get from it? The Lord is good. Listen, let me tell you something. The word of God is treasure. It's treasure. If I give you $100 now, all right, you know, you won't keep it in your Bible because you may forget it. You won't put it in your pocket. Somebody may see it. When you were young, can you remember this inner pocket? How many of you had it those days?
It's really here. You know, you open it, it opens. You anything you put inside, it cannot get missing. It's only if you get missing that thing can get missing. Remember that pocket? I used in secondary school. My key used to be there, so that I won't lose my key. And if I had money, I had to go in there. That one is the mouth is held by your belt. You need to loosen the belt before you can, and just two fingers, nothing more than two fingers. That's the kind of place you want to put the money in. Why? You don't want it to get missing. You don't want it to get missing. That's how, of course, that's because we treasure the cash. We treasure the cash. And what are we supposed to do as believers? We should treasure the word of God like that. I heard you praying. You said that last Saturday, Nigeria was playing. So people, if you are like that, please come and give your life to Christ. I'm making an altar call. All the sinners in the house. You match. Somebody will miss. And you know, there's one lie people tell themselves. I will listen to the tape. Listen, the operation of spiritual things is not like that. It is not the fact that your ears have contacted physically the vibrations that we call the sound that matters. You can hear the sound and your ears are deadened. Hear, don't understand. See and don't perceive. And they were hearing Isaiah preach. And by the time Jesus came, that word was in operation. It's in operation till today. Jesus will talk, say they won't understand. Why? He said they will not understand. Yet they were hearing it. What determines whether you understand or you don't understand is how much value you place on it. That's it. And the amount of value you place on it, you have to demonstrate a lot of times. And those are the times God would deliberately say, okay, put that crucial match at 4:30 kickoff or 5:30, knowing that 5 o'clock is when you are supposed to start hearing the word. He will set calf up. They will put the match, and it will end as you are finished, when you are supposed to finish in Bible study. You know what he's trying to do? Show me what matters to you. That's all. Wait, okay, two of you are giving testimony of a woman, young woman, who one guy wanted to marry. And then one day he now said, please, oh, did you hear what Pastor Bank preached on Saturday? The guy said, I changed the satellite, the dish direction. Said, why? He said, I wanted to watch Big Brother. So the girl didn't say anything. No. She didn't say anything. No. She didn't say anything. But that was the end of the relationship. No, that was the end. Final. Zero. I know they marry again. They didn't fight though. I just came and said, hey, please, did you watch that teaching on Saturday? I was not able to watch it. Oh, no. I needed to use my satellite somewhere as well. There was one entertainment program. No, Allah. Don't worry, you will marry Beyonce. Me? Forget it. I heard the story of another lady. One guy wanted to marry the church. So one day she went to his house, looked around. Where are your books? The guy said, no, they read. That everything. And the minister. That doesn't need to do since they're inside. The guy no quarrel. The guy didn't see anything. Thank you very much. It was nice visiting you. She kept on walking and separated herself from him as far as the east is from the west. So these are the things you value, eh? Thank you very much. No, there's no quarrel. You will find somebody like you. You see, you can't marry everybody. Abi, can you? We're just locating ourselves, that's all. Me and you are not following the same direction. All this one that they tell you, opposites attract. Eh? It's magnets. In real life. In real life, what God said is, what relationship has light with darkness? How can opposites attract? That's what God said. Forget all this one we write in books and make it sound so theologically sound and so exegetically correct, all those kind of things. Opposites attract, and we bind it. Oh, hallelujah. Opposites attract. Lie. Are you getting my point? In spiritual things, in things that matter, opposites do not attract. Two cannot work together. That's a spiritual thing. That's a spiritual side. On the mundane areas, we can have some small opposites attracting. You like red, and she likes blue. Opposites can attract. Two opposing colors. You snore, she sleeps quietly. Those two can attract. Those ones can attract. Those are the kind of things that attract too. But real things, opposites don't attract. opposites don't. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If somebody wants to watch the word of God while the other person is watching Big Brother Africa, how can they make progress? Go and listen to my message, How to Find True Love. That's it. I want to start talking some about, let me tell you something about true love. True love has zero to do with feeling. Anytime I see him, my stomach will just be doing like this. All the people that divorce after 6 months in America, that's how their stomach too they do. But what about stomach after they've done, has done, it has done, it is set to. Then the things that matter will now manifest. People say, can I fall in love? It's a simple answer. If you fall in normal life, do you lie down there? So if you fall in love, it is good. Just get up. Yes. You fall in love, it's good. But when you finish falling, you go clear your eyes. Say, oh boy, stand up. This floor is not good for you. Anytime you fall for something, you wake up, clear your eyes. Say, guys, hold me, hold me. Don't let me go. That's how you do it. Your friends will hold you. Say, no, why? It's not like that, too. All this falling in love thing is nonsense talk. You know what love does? Love will shine eye and walk in. You don't fall over. You walk JJ, step by step. Consider your steps. Are we going the same direction? Falling in love, God. Anything you fall into, it's not good for you. You should get up and be sure you are where God wants you to be. The Lord is good. So David said, I rejoice at thy word as one who finds what? Great spoil or great treasure. Okay? Now, 163, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love thy law. Seven times a day I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Now, we've discussed this one before. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love thy law. One of the prayers, because it's a repetition. That is, I know the thing that's important, so I stick to thy word. Now, when he says 7 times a day I praise you, because of your righteous ordinances. You can take the 7 times as literal, yeah, but I believe it's more of a type, you know. 7 being that I am constantly, yes, regularly, every time, always offering praises to the Lord because of the righteousness of his ordinances. 165. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for thy salvation, O Lord, and do thy commandments. Now, this is important. We're going to come back to come to it again, this 166. But let me just say that 165, please bear that in mind. Those who love the law of God have great peace. Those who love the law of God, they have great peace. That is a matter of fact. Peace comes to them because of where their affection is. That's it. I will talk more about it. Let's just continue reading. And nothing, he says, causes them to stumble, because the word of God gives them understanding. It helps them put everything in life in perspective. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. I'll come back to it. What David was saying is that this is a sign that somebody is waiting for the hand of God to move on his behalf, how he constantly holds on to what the Lord has said. 167, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Please notice that. I've kept your precepts and your testimony, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. 173, he said, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, that I may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. I'll just pass a few more comments, then we'll rise up again to pray, and then we'll close. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And I just wanted to, I wanted us to read to the end, then I'll just emphasize a few things. What I would just want to bring out from these portions we read today, we have just read now, is what is the issue of what somebody loves as being the most, that is the key issue here. Now, let me just pass a comment quickly on 173. He said, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. And what David was saying there is this.
I have chosen to obey the word of God. I have nowhere else to turn to. Are you getting my point here? Now, please, you must understand how to interpret things. There are times that people will tell you that Hezekiah prayed and he showed God the good things he had done for which God should bless him back by force. They give you that impression. But unfortunately, it's not like that. If you read the prayer of Hezekiah after he had recovered, if you read his prayer of thanksgiving, you will see that Hezekiah acknowledged that there were reasons he went into the affliction that he went into. And that part of his prayers that were not recorded before, maybe I should just open to it. Part of the prayers not recorded before he was healed, all right? Those prayers, which he now said later, included repentance. Let's just read one, Isaiah chapter 38 from verse 9. It says, a writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. Now, what did he say? I said, in the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol, that is the grave, and I am to be deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. Like a shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and removed from me. As a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, thou dost make an end of me. I compose my soul until morning, like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, thou dost make an end of me. Like a swallow, like a crane, so I twitter. So they used to use Twitter that time. I moan like a dove, my eyes look wistfully to the heights. O Lord, I am oppressed, be my security. What shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall wonder about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and all this is the life of my spirit. Now, O restore to me health. That was the prayer I prayed. And let me live. For my own welfare. Now listen to this. Lo, for my own welfare, I had great bitterness. That is, what happened was for my good. It is thou who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Are you seeing that? For that is, listen to this. It was God that prevented him from dying. How did God do it? He forgave his sins. For Sheol cannot thank thee. Death cannot praise thee. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy faithfulness. There is a living who give thanks to thee, as I do today. A father tells his sons about thy faithfulness. The Lord will surely save me. We will play, and so we will play my songs on string instruments all the days of my life at the house of the Lord. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the ball that he may recover. Now let me just stop here. Now why I read this is to let us know sometimes people don't, like I say all the time, be careful when you're reading the Bible. Be very careful, be studious, read it carefully. You know, people popularize that issue that Hezekiah faced the wall and he said to God, look at the things I have done. So when you are in trouble, you bring out and show God the things that you have done. Hezekiah didn't do that. Even though you read a brief summary of what he said earlier, that I've walked before you and all of that. Now, why I came to this is because of what we're reading in this Psalm 119, in that verse, which verse is that now? 173, yes. Now, it's to let us know that what Isaiah actually did was to explain to God that I had nowhere else to go. You are the only one I have followed. You are my God. There is no other God. I have tried my best to stick with that principle. We'll come to it again. David said here in 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Well, how can he say that? When he's been saying, I've kept your law, I've kept your law, I've kept your law, I've kept your law. Then he wakes up and says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, the point these men were making, both Hezekiah and David, is this. Now, there's a baseline following of the Lord, okay, which is a result of what somebody's heart really longs for. Now, that's why David will tell you, I have kept your law. That is, essentially, your law has been my hope. There's nowhere else for me to turn to. Now, even while I'm doing that, there are times I go astray, like sheep. That is, I don't know what to do. So, in the midst of loving God, in the midst of following the precepts that I have, I can make mistakes. I can do that which is wrong. So he prayed at that point and said, Lord, seek your servant. At such times, don't abandon me. Are you getting my point here? So in Ezekiah's case, yes, he did what he knew to be true. But in the midst of his troubles, the Holy Spirit was not able to point out to him that his life was not totally in order. Are you getting my point here? God did not just, look, it's not as if God suddenly just woke up one day and said, okay, is it Ezekiah? Who's killing him? You didn't tell me, Ezekiah, that good man. No, that's not what happened. That was not what happened. In that process, you know, the Bible is very summarized. In that process, Ezekiah knew what was wrong. In that process, Ezekiah was corrected. You notice something here. He said, thou hast cast my sins behind thy back. He said, it was for my good. Which verse is that? Around 16. Yes. He said, lo, that's verse 17. For my own welfare, I had great bitterness. That is what happened was for my good. And that's why it's not said, next line, he explained that you have cast my sins behind thy back. That is, because of my bitterness, I recognize my sins. I confess my sins, the Lord forgave my sins and threw them away. Are you getting my point here? So it wasn't bragging like everything I did was right. No. I'm using that one to emphasize what I call the baseline following of God. In which the men were saying, God, which other God do we have? I don't know whether you get my point here. That's why we have followed you. You say offer sacrifices, and there we did. We didn't go to sacrifice to another God. Who will help us if it is not you? You are getting my point here? Very important for us to understand it. Now, I just want to emphasize that. So, what I want to talk about like today is this issue. I went through it. One thing David kept on emphasizing is what somebody loves basically. Where your heart really is. Now, listen, let me explain this. When we are praying, these are the things we pray about. Check where your heart really is. The danger I have noticed in today's Christianity that has crept into the church and has caused a lot of problems. Let me say something to you quickly. Spiritual things, they work like this. God gives you results in life, gives you blessings. Those blessings are distracting. The church preached the word. They prayed. Then what happened? The church began to grow. Then distraction started. Grecian women complained against the Hebrew women, all kinds of things that let's settle so that the church will not have troubles. Now, the common sense thing is to put the pastor, what we call pastor today, that was not the way it was then, but let's just use today's terminology. We will now put the pastor in charge so there will be no trouble in the church. The highest ranking person, so they handle the money, they handle the distribution, and all of that. Now, but Peter and co have been taught by the Lord Jesus. They understood that anytime God gives you results, progress, promotion, it brings distractions. So they came and said, we will not neglect the ministry of the word and prayer and start serving what? Tables. That's how life is. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Like he told the church in Ephesus, you have to be careful to make sure you do the work you did at first. Because when you progress in God, the things you did at first are in jeopardy. You need more energy. Let me give an example. I mean, you're a business person. God has increased you. And those days when you were very small, when your turnover on a monthly basis was 55,000 a whole month, from it you will now calculate profit. Profit now comes to 6,005. And from that profit, you're supposed to eat. Remember those days? Those days, you wake up in the morning and bless the Lord in the name of Jesus. I increase. You'll be blessing God, you're confessing the word. Fast forward 15 years. Turnover on a monthly basis, 150 million, 200 million. Phone calls from Abuja, meeting being called here, meeting being called there. 1 week will pass, you won't bless the Lord. And the Lord understands how busy you are. You don't even sleep in your house anymore. You sleep on the plane, in the taxi, you know, one business after another. And then you have a meeting very soon. You'll be talking to the likes of Dangote. Your turnover by the end of this year, looking at it, should be up to 3.5 billion. You know, business is booming. And the boom of the business boomed the way your morning's confession. You're blessing the Lord. All those good things you used to do. That is where you have to be careful and say, sorry, this billionaire does not work on Sundays. Use that Sunday as an excuse. It's a lie, but just take it like that. Why did I call it a lie? You know you're a Christian. But you know, for you as a believer, Sunday, Monday is the same thing. In Christ Jesus, I hope you know there's no difference. Yes. In Christ, it's the same. But you just use that advantage. It's Sunday now. That's the time you now do what? Meditate and pray. And do those things you used to do before. That's how life is. It can be, you know, it jeopardizes the fundamentals when God has promoted you. That's what happened to Jeroboam. Jeroboam was nobody going on his own. He wasn't worshiping idols. They made him a king suddenly. Suddenly, he realized that this kingship may not last forever. If these people repent of their sins, they will go back to the house of David. So what did he do? He created two idols, put them at two extremes of Israel. I said, why do you have to go all the way to Jerusalem to go and worship? And that thing made God hate Jeroboam. Only him and Ahab were competing in that area. The hatred that God had for them. He suffered for two things. The sins he committed and the ones he made Israel commit. Be careful. Promotion jeopardizes the fundamentals. That's what happens. And sometimes the thing that God has promoted you to, one day he will take it, or at least he will threaten to take it. What do I mean by that? You'll have to break the law of God to sustain it. Don't forget it's a test. Be willing to lose it. Say, well, okay, we're not doing it again. We're not multimillionaires again. We're going back to where we began from. Don't mind. I mean, these things are physical. The spiritual substance is what, it's what you must not lose. So what happened to the church? Back to where I was. I know where I was. So the church, we started preaching the word of faith, the word of prosperity, the word of healing and all of that. Then healing and prosperity became what? The idol, the goal. Before we knew what was happening, the fact that we prospered materially became a problem in itself. One, we needed to prosper some more. You know, those when we were young, we heard of the glass cathedral built by Robert Schuller. Remember the glass cathedral? Yes, the glass, this thing, everything. The whole church was made purely of glass. It was very expensive to build, and it was a sign of what he called possibility thinking, that it works. So he used to preach what he called possibility thinking. So we began to learn possibility thinking. What we don't realize is that he couldn't maintain it. Finally, a few years ago, the Catholics bought it off him. Maintaining that glass house was expensive. Keeping it clean. To keep brick clean is easy. When the whole building is glass, Crystal Cathedral, that's what it was called. What we don't know is that some time ago, he had to sell it. And he wanted the church to buy it. The only people that could buy it, that his heart could give it to, were the Catholic, were the Catholics. So the Catholic Church bought Crystal Cathedral from Robert Schuller. There goes possibility thinking. So when prosperity has grown a lot of times, it creates problems for us. So in the church, it created problems. It did. And once we began to focus on prosperity, we lost Christ. That's it. Once we, listen, in this life, I'm talking about fundamental love, right? That's what I'm talking about. Please make sure there is nothing else you love in life more than the word of God, that is Jesus and obeying his word. All these other things are what? Additions. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These other things are not supposed to be the focus. That's why I say all the time, because we're talking about the most important prayer. I want to start a business. I want to start a career. Settle down and ask yourself, how is this obedience to the word of God? If it is not, find something else to do. You will actually find something that is actually for you obedience to God's word. Yes, you will. So it's not every time you change a job because they pay more money. You just change a job. But where you were before, your gifts and talents were being manifested. You were a blessing to people. Someone asked, okay, come now, we're going to pay you 10 times that amount. What will you be doing? You'll be filing paper. Can't you get a machine to file it? We like the way you were working before. We now want to make you paper filer. Just know it's Satan. What did I call it? It's Satan. Listen, in life, listen. You yourself, check him. If you were the devil, will you tempt somebody with, come and follow me, otherwise I will kill you? He's a Christian, he will rebuke you. Satan doesn't come with Christians and say, follow me, otherwise you're in trouble. He knows you're a believer. Once he provokes you like that, you know what you start doing? You start praying. You start confessing. In the name of Jesus, I shall live and not die. Satan said, no, you don't threaten these people. It's been shown that the church grows faster when it's persecuted. So you know what Satan does? He doesn't. He just says, my girl, how now? I say, I'm fine. Has God really said you shouldn't eat of this tree? That tree? No, shouldn't eat it too. We are not even allowed to touch it. Why not? You will die. Eve, do you look like a dying person? You will not die. It takes more. Eat. The moment you eat it, no, that is discussion. He didn't come to the garden, cock the gun. Eve, eat this or I shoot you. Eve will have shouted, Adam, help, help. No. That's how it works. That is how it works. So what Satan does is that once we start loving, that's the point I'm making. Once we start loving what the word of God produces, more than the word itself, we are already on our pathway to being lost. Once we start loving what the word produces, more than that word itself, that's a pathway to being lost. Is healing good? Very, very good. Is prosperity good? Very, very good. All those things are promised in the word of God. But they are not as important as obeying the totality of the word of God. That is, we said along the line, if I did a business, after 5 years it collapsed, it is not a sign that the word is not working. It's not. Why did it collapse? I don't know. That's not what I want to discuss. But what do? We sit down and go through everything. What happened? How did we get money to start? Did we fulfill our obligations to people that we owed things? Maybe we borrowed money. We promised to pay an amount. Did we pay? Did we pay staff? The wages. Were the wages fair? Did we treat staff like human beings? Did we treat ourselves rightly? Did we trust in the arm of flesh? Were we working 7 days a week, 24 hours each day? Because we felt that by strength will a man prevail. Did we do that? You check all of those things. Like I said, I've been saying for some weeks now, I look at the money. Okay, this money we spent, why? Okay, there was a time they said we needed to give bribe. Did we give? I don't know where I get my point. Okay, if we did, how could we have avoided doing that? You go through all of that. That's what you need. That's what you need. If you look at it and everything was okay, David said, rejoice. That is, the business failed according to the will of God. I mean, it's not every business that will be... that God sends people through things for training. Say, do this business. After 5 years, I will close it down. Should I give you an example? Peter. Jesus shut him down. One day, he gave him plenty of food. That's why all this increasing. People say that... You know, people talk. You know, we don't hear things where they say, when Peter gave Jesus his boat... He got a draught of fish today. You are going to give Jesus your boat. Who has ever given Jesus his boat? None of us will be there bringing our boat. You know why? We are wicked people. We don't love Jesus. We love the fish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus is nothing more than a fish multiplier.
Yeah.
And it's his boat he wants. Hey, give him boat now. Not be fish you define. My boat for your fish. That is all. We don't read the other part. As soon as he was done with giving him fish, Peter abandoned the fish. Because Jesus said, now that you have seen that this thing is not by strength, let's use that understanding for something else. From now on, you'll be what? A fisher of men. And the guy left. I don't know what happened to the fish. He left and started following. But you know, we don't read the stories completely. We stop at the arrival of the fish. If you finish reading it, you will have realized that after that, Peter was just as broke as when he started. The fish came, Peter left. So sometimes the Lord shuts people down. Sometimes he does. So it's not, look, material prosperity is not always a sign. No, it's not always a sign that faith is working, the word is working. Like we said the other day, some of us are discussing here. The word is working. How do you know the word is working? I like the examples that two of, I think it was Okemote and Jedidiah, that's Israel's wife. The two of them said independently, say, when I hear things like this, it doesn't move me. It means the word is working. I don't know where I get the point. There was a time that if all your friends bought brand new cars and you bought brand new shoes, you know? You know, you'll be wondering, like, God, when will you remember me?
God said, what are you talking about? You are forgotten me now. Why? All you gave me was money to buy shoes. My friends were buying complete vehicles. And God said, no, you don't understand. The problem is that it still moves you. It's still moving you. It's still moving you. You get to a point in life, and you just, that's a nice one. Give me a ride. And you come down, and it doesn't cross your mind that anything special happened. That's a sign that the word is what? It's working. The word is actually working. It is working. If you want to know whether the word is working in your life, forget your pocket to check your character. No, if you want to know whether the word is working, forget your pocket. Check your character. You've been paying attention to the word for 3 years now. By now, I give you financial breakthrough. You don't know what you're saying. That's not what the word does. What it does is 3 years before, every story I tell is half truth, half lie. Even the one that sounds true, I say with a voice that exaggerates the facts. 3 years later, am I still talking like that? If I'm still talking like that, the word is not, in fact, I don't love the word at all. It's not doing anything for me yet. No matter what it produces for me materially, it hasn't done anything for me. The first place I know the word is working is how it's changing me as an individual. That's a sign that the word is working. That's a sign. Before, maybe I lie down by 10 p.m. At 1 a.m., I'm still getting up with a piece of paper and doing calculation. You know, been in the bed since 10. You know what that is called? Worry. That's called worry. That's called worry. Maybe that's how it used to be. But now, as soon as you hit the bed, before you even hear yourself hit the bed, you're already dreaming of things. That is the peace of God that passes all understanding is now working in you. That's the word working. Those are the first things that the word delivers to us. That's why Paul said it like that. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which does what? Able to build you up. That's the first thing the word does. The first thing the word does is build you up, not give you something. He says, able to build you up, then he now can deliver to you your inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. The first thing the word does is build you up, not give you things. The word is more concerned about building you up. That's what David was explaining to us. That's why we're doing this in 119. You look at everything that David is saying, he kept on emphasizing that, look, there is nothing I want more than to be obedient to God's word. He said in that verse 174, he said, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. What was he saying? The proof that it is God I'm expecting something from in life is that I am concerned about how I am obedient to the things that he said. That's a proof that my expectation is from him. If somebody says, I'm waiting on God, how is he waiting on God? Check how he's living his life. That is, I'm concerned every day with how I rearrange my thoughts, I rearrange my behavior, I rearrange my doings to make sure it's in conformity with what God has written. That's a sign that I'm waiting on him. That's a sign that it's God I'm trusting. If you break God's rules to get results, you are not hoping for that result from his hands. That's what you're saying. That's why David keeps on saying, I stay up all night meditating on your testimonies. Listen, children of God, everything that God has prepared for us in life is found inside the word. But more importantly than that is more important than the things that we are getting is that word itself, that for our lives to be conformed to it. I'm summarizing everything we've been talking about because I've finished reading Psalm 119 now. What is our purpose? You wake up in the morning and say, today, let my life fulfill what you have written. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me give an example. Once Peter and Co. went out to preach. No, they were going on the road, they healed somebody, started preaching, and people got gave their lives to Christ. They got arrested, and they got flogged, and then they got released. Now, notice something about them. As we were going, they were rejoicing in one thing, that Jesus said that, you see, they hated me, they will hate you too. Once they felt the hatred, are you getting my point? Say, God, the word is working in our lives. I don't know whether you get the point. Yes. Once they felt the hatred, once they were beaten, you'll be persecuted for my sake. Oh, John, we have been persecuted. We have been persecuted for his sake. John, give me a hug, give me a hug. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It was such a joy to them that they were flogged for the sake of Christ. It's the kind of thing they said, please help me rub something that will make the scars stay. Yes. I don't want the healing. I want to get to heaven and say, Jesus, see, you like that? Does it fit me? Yeah. Why? Because their joy was derived. That's the point I'm making. No, believers, we have to stop deriving joy from things that pass away. You know you have made it when you rejoice more when the word of God enters you than when money enters your pocket. Believe me, that's the sign that you have made it as a believer. Christians, sometimes the world teaches us things. You know, the world has glorified holiday. You know holiday? You know what they call holiday?
Yes.
Why are you doing like you don't know it? Some of you are still dreaming of the day you spend 1 week in Dubai. Now, what I want to say, you don't have to like it, but it's the truth. You know the holidays that God told Israel to have every weekend? The law is you could not travel. Did you notice that? Sabbath. So, your holiday is not rest. It's an adventure. People say, take a holiday and go and rest. I laugh a lot of times. By the time they pass 2-3 airports, the holidays, it can't be holiday again. If you want to rest, just come off and go on a job. Stay there. Once nobody knows you are there, nobody sleep. People will just be, don't let me go there again. If I start now, people will say, this guy, you're a very dry guy. No, I'm a very wet guy. It's just that. No, it's true. I know the things that are important. You can go anywhere you want in life. That's not my problem. But stop deceiving us that you're obeying God. Because if it's the rest of God you are looking for, just come off for Enugu. Go to Makodi. And sleep. Don't be sleep. Why you are obeying God, you have to come back and tell us the story that you went to London, you went to America, you went to Switzerland. That's not the rest of God. That is adventure. Now, why did I go into that? Okay, maybe I want to help somebody here. All right, the Lord is good. Now, this is where I'm going. So, Christian, we learn all of those things. We are willing to save up money to go for a holiday. But that's why the word has not yet produced in our lives. We are not willing to spend that money to hear that, this man is coming to Nigeria. He's going to be in Ibadan for 3 days. Have you ever been to Ibadan? No. Let's go now. We'll stay in a hotel. You know, Christians, they don't often do that. Very few believers do it. No, check it. Very few believers do such things. They expect the gospel to come to their house. Broadcast the word to them. It's on radio alone they want to hear it, and television. Yes, and listen to me, let me say something. It's not the amount of information you have in your ears that enters your ears that determines the amount of faith you have. According to our series on total faith that time, and I talked about the pursuit and the use of faith, all right? It's not just the information you have heard. Sometimes it is the amount of effort you put into getting that information. Now, not because of the information alone, but because you have demonstrated to the Lord the value that you place upon it. You know, because we're rearranging, moving things over the last few days. I was going through my books, you know. I took my son, we're arranging on my shelf, you know, a bookshelf. So just putting things together, sometimes I will pick a book. I said, oh boy, come. I said, we've been loving the Lord for a long time. I was showing him books, how we photocopied books and bounced them. I was about to throw away some of those things because they are old. And some of them we have the proper books now because now we can afford the proper books. But I said, no, let me keep them. Please remind me, I'll show some of them to you. You know what we used to do? We'll photocopy the book and then take it to the binder. The binder will now bind the book. So I remember there was one, Real Men, something by Ed Cole. I forgot these materials. I saw them just for the last few days. And I told Akinle, I said, I sewed this thing myself, needle and thread. I will show it to you. I was trying to remember, how did I do this? I went like that and sewed the book together because it was a photocopy. I will read the thing and file it there. You know, what were you doing like that? People say country is hard now. You were not alive when country was hard. Listen, when I was doing this, I had graduated from school. I'm not kidding. But you will go to the bookshop, the book you want to read, you will look at it. Look your hand, look the book. Say no. You go and look for somebody else who has bought it. Say, please, can I borrow your own? I want to photocopy it. So once in a while, you buy this, you buy that. People just buy books. They will now make photocopies. At the end of the day, photocopying the book was will cost less than a quarter of buying it. So it was cheaper for us. I don't know which one of you, somebody here, one day came and gave me The Spiritual Man. I died here in Benin as a gift by Watchmani, the complete volume. So I said, Akindu, I have two of them. Which one should I keep? So I said, okay, I'll bring one to the ministry library here and I'll keep one at the house. My own copy, I showed it to him. I said, notice that it looks like what? He said, it looks like sandwich. He said, it looks like Nigerian flag, you know, three different colors. I said, they're actually three books. You wouldn't guess. I bought them one by one, put them together, remove the bag, give to the binder. Please tear them and rebind them as one volume. Because they used to, you know, those are the locally printed books that will fragment after a while. Nigeria prints far better now than we used to do those days. Man, those are the things we did to learn the word. I was discovering them, you know, because we were moving things. I was discovering them over the last week. I was laughing to myself. I bound that book like that, I'll be reading it page by page. One of you saw, you know, the story I tell all the time about one day I went to church in Lagos. When I started listening to Pastor Kwaju those days, 97. I went to church. I wanted the book tape. They said the recorder was not good. So I went home. Next Sunday, I came again. The man finished preaching another hot word. I went to book tape. They said the recorder is not good. I said, wait, two Sundays you have not recorded and you are sitting out here comfortably. So I went back home, took a book and a pen and began to replay the last two Sundays' messages. In my mind, I played it and played it. I started remembering. I started writing. I don't know which one of you did I show the book to. Okay, it was you, John. Okay. Some of you saw it. I wrote over 20 pages remembering what somebody said in like two or three Sundays. I said, because if I don't write it, I will forget it. And the people recording. So the next Sunday, that's not the third Sunday, I borrowed his music set and carried it to church. So please use this one to record the thing. The lady, one of the ladies working there, that said, dash it to us and I say, I'm sorry, it's not mine. I would have given you people. But it's my neighbor who's a Muslim. When I'm going to church, I say, can I borrow this thing? I'm taking it to church to record our message for today. He said, no problem. I'll carry it. So you see me going to church, I'm carrying a music set. They use that to record for a number of Sundays until the church fixed its own and we continue the recording. Now, let me bring out something here. Sometimes you do all of these things. Is a sign that you value it. Now, you know the truth? I can't even remember what I was looking for inside that word. It was just the word. Are you getting my point? What was it supposed to produce? Now I don't really know what I was looking for it to produce. But when you hear a good word, if you've developed the appetite for it, it's like good food. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it's like good food. These are people, they like drink. No drink. When they drink some drinks, you see how much they pay for a bottle. I've seen drinks, one bottle, 50,000. Some of you have seen it. 100,000. 200,000, one bottle. And no man means we drink it. If you give me a cup of that, I won't drink. Because I won't be able to sleep. I'll just be wondering. I just drank somebody's salvation. It's not good. I'm not, not drinking. And some people value it. You know, they value it. They will tell you the name of the drink, which year it was made. We sell it, they keep it in Switzerland. You know why it doesn't matter to me? I have not developed the taste. I told you once, I asked one of my colleagues that I have tried, now I'm a funny person, I have tried a number of times to try and appreciate why men will sit down and be drinking beer. If you are sitting down and drinking Coke, I can understand. Not because of the cost though, but because of what the taste. Beer has a foul taste. No, please. I know you disagree. All of you covering your faces, I know you disagree. Okay? I can't understand it. They say, okay, if it is chilled, you will get it. I have tried it chilled. It's the same thing. So finally, one day, I asked one of my guys, we're just talking like this in the office. He said, Oga, it's an acquired taste. You didn't learn it. He said, it's a taste you learn. And usually you learn it when you are young. That's what it was implying. That the time of learning it has passed. It has passed you over. So enjoy your life without enjoying beer. That was the day my questions came to an end. Because you know, for a long time, I would be wondering, may we sit down and go through two cartons? But my question came to an end when I found out that it was what? An acquired taste. And that taught me something. That's where I'm going. Most of the things we enjoy in life, we learn to enjoy them. We learn to enjoy them. And the world tries to teach us what to enjoy. That's it. They deceive us, put things on the screen, in newspapers, and create an appetite for people. There are clothes people wear, you'd be wondering, you know, I've told you before, there are things I just tell people, why do you do it? A woman, you wear trouser, you buy trouser. First thing you do, you cut hole in it. Is your head correct? Why? Why now? When I was young, a person tear your clothes, now fight. Why will you tear my clothes? But now people pay money to have it torn. And they say it's what? Fashion. Listen to me, it's an acquired taste. That's the point I'm making. It's acquired. Sometimes, for those of you who are there, the good of the land, I said something. I said, sometimes as believers, there are things you just refuse to do. I know you won't go to hell. I just want to tell you people that you won't turn my head crazy. No matter, I know righteousness is in my heart, but I won't pierce my ear. As a man, I'm not saying, women, please pierce your nose, pierce everything you want to pierce. I'm talking about men. I'm not piercing my ears. If you like, make me a star footballer, sell me for $200 million, I'm piercing my ears. When I read my Bible, it's only male slaves. If you see a man's ear pierced, he's a slave. If you see women's ears pierced, it's womanhood. You're a woman. Leave it like that. I'm not quarreling with you. Women are the ones that are supposed to pierce their ear. Yeah. Even pierce your nose, it's not unrighteous. It's the way you like it. Just the one I can't understand is piercing your eye too. It's going too far. I think it's going too far, really, you know. Just some people won't pierce their lips. Pierce their tongue. No, that. Oh, yes, they do. They pierce their tongue. Oh, this one says Jesus. This guy. This boy goes to deeper life. I'm telling you. Jesus. Deeper life, they go. It's not in tongue. Yeah, people pierce their tongues. They do. Yeah. I think that's going to be too far, really. But a man now piercing nothing. He won't woke up one day and tell them, tattoo. Is it everything we must copy? He said, you can tattoo your body and still go to heaven. But even if you don't tattoo it, you will still get to heaven. So what is the issue? For me, I just said, no, it's not everything people copy. I'm not making something here. So the world sometimes they just throw things out for us there. You know, remember the one I was telling you the other day? When I was young, you have to match your color. Now, rioting colors is fashion for women. They call it pinking. You wear green trouser and yellow or red shirt. When I was young, we would think you have a hypomanic disorder. But now, it's, you know. Let me tell you my main thing I'm going to say. We can create that same habit with God's word.
Yes, sir.
When I was on campus, that was some of the things that God helped us with. You know, when I was at the University of Benin, very few churches had campus fellowships. The only churches that had campus fellowships were the Orthodox churches, like the Catholic Church, the Protestant community, so, and the church was there, just inside the campus. So they had the fellowships part of the church. Then the only other one that I remember was something like Deeper Life. All other campus fellowships were just campus fellowships. What I mean is that they were not reporting to anybody. They didn't have ambitions. The only ambition was just to be campus Christians, graduate with a good degree. Some will go into ministry, and that was the end of it. You didn't get promoted. There was no promotion for you. You understand? So people, we love the word because it was a thing. I don't know how else to say it. That was just it. And when brother wanted to, you know, when we wanted to talk, we talked the word. When we wanted to fight, we fought the word. When we wanted to quarrel, we quarreled the word. You know, like, what do you mean? How many tongues do you speak? I speak in tongues more than ye all. You know, those kind of quarrels. Yes, I'm serious. These are things I really saw. I've seen brethren almost point themselves on interpretation of scripture. No, you can't say like that. When Paul said it, he was referring. No, he didn't read the collect the Bible. No, give me the Bible. No. I'm serious. We'll be looking at them. Fighting on. I remember the day one sister arrived and brought a
from holiday and gave a Dick's Bible to one of head of our fellowship that time. The room went crazy. Dick's Bible, yeah. Dick's Annotated Reference Bible. The first day we heard Kenneth Hagin, brethren gathered. You know, as if don't talk. Kenneth Hagin is talking. God! I still remember the first brother brought us a video of Benny Hinn. My fellowship gathered to watch Benny Hinn. It was fellowship day. We stopped every program, brought some brother went and arranged television, brought it VHS, put video cassette. 200 LT those days in Uniben, we sat down to watch Benny Hinn. And when we're done watching Benny Hinn, a message he preached in South Africa, in Rima College Church. I still remember one brother, he jumped down and began to prophesy. I remember that day, he just ran down and began to prophesy. And it shall come to pass in the latter days. He was talking, yeah, my children. Now, what we bring to crusade now, Kpororo. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Honestly. No. I believe there's a revival. Somebody say amen. There is a revival. Somebody say amen. What we love the most is the word of God. Let's rise to our feet. Let us pray. What we love the most is God's word. It's a habit we create. David said it very clearly. Listen, I may go astray, but the basic fundamental thing in my heart is I love the word of God. For that reason, he said, Lord, seek your servant. Begin to pray. Say, Lord, I love your word. Make me love it some more. Are you getting my point? Say, Lord, increase the love I have for your word in my heart. It's a very important prayer. The way you love, you know, when you want to dress in the morning, you spend time, you know, arrange your makeup very well. Say, Lord, that kind of love. Say, Lord, that kind of love, that kind of attention. Let me give it to the studying of the word. It's a prayer. Say, Lord, I don't want to love any other thing as much as I love learning the word, obeying the word, learning truth, obeying truth. I want to see the face of the Lord in the pages of the book. I want to hear a message and be excited by it. I want to save money to travel. There's this Lancaster conference. If people take money for their family to go on holiday. I want to take money and go to attend a prophetic conference. I heard of an apostolic conference held in South Africa every year. I want to go there, not because I want to trip, but because the men refuse to come down to where I am. I'm willing to spend the money. I will just go there, spend the money, hear the word. Lord, that kind of love. That's what I'm asking for. Pray, say, Lord, stir up your love inside my heart. This is the most important prayer. That's what we are concluding this 119 study today. Say, Lord, stir up that love inside my heart. Stir up that love inside my heart. Stir up that love. I'm not saying I can do it by myself. I'm asking you, Lord, today. Stir up the love. Stir up the love. Stir up the love inside my heart. I want to love your precepts. Love your commandments. Love your ordinances. Love your word. Love everything that you have spoken. Lord, I want to love it. I want to declare like David. I rejoice at your word. Like one who finds great spoil, who finds a lot of treasure. The way I would rejoice if I was dashed $1 million. Let me rejoice like that when I hear truth, when I hear the word of God, when it is expounded to me. Lord, cause me to rejoice like that. Pray, say, Lord, I give you my heart. I yield myself to the word. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Say, Lord, I long for the word of your grace. I commend myself to that word today. Say, my soul, love the word of God. Instruct your soul. Speak to your heart. Say, soul, listen. The word will be precious to you. The word of God will be the thing you love the most. It will be the priority in your life. It will take your money. It will take your time. You will give it to it willingly. Say, soul, love the word. Soul, love the precepts of God. Soul, love the commandments. Soul, love the ordinances. Soul, love the testimonies of the Lord Jesus. Pray. I want you to pray like, you know the way you pray, Lord, I need money. Say, more than that, say, Lord, I need to love the word.
Say, Lord, give me understanding as I love it. Let the word talk to me. Lord, hold your Bible. Hold it, whatever device you have. Say, hold it. Hold it now. Say, Lord, let it talk to me. Let my Bible talk to me. Let me open it. Let it speak to me. Let it speak to me. Let it be my entertainment.
Amen.
Let it be my entertainment. I want to be entertained. Let it be the scriptures that will entertain me. If I'm bored, Lord, let this word excite me. If I'm hungry, let this word fill me. If I'm depressed, let this word lift me up. Let me enjoy this word. Pray, say, Lord, let this word talk to me. I don't want it to be ordinary letters. I read novels and I can't put it down. So why can't I read the scriptures and not be able to put it down? So, Lord, this is what I'm asking you for. Today, I'm not asking for money. Today, I'm not asking for promotion. I'm not asking for a wife. I'm not asking for a husband. I'm not asking for all those material things. No. Today, I'm asking, say, Lord, I want to love your word. I want to rejoice at your word. Let that word be honey to my mouth. Let it be sweetness to my soul. I am asking you today. That is my prayer request. If the Lord appears to me now and says, ask me for anything, Lord, I have one prayer request for today. Put a hunger in me. David said, my soul follows hard after you, O Lord. Say, Lord, I want my heart to follow hard after the word. I want to hear that a particular minister I've been listening to for a long time, he has arrived, he's in Abuja. He's preaching that weekend. I take money, enter a bus, enter a taxi, whatever it is, off to Abuja for the weekend. Where will I stay? I will solve that when I reach there. I want that kind of hunger that makes me relocate for the word of God. One of the things that excite me, I've met many people in this ministry. Oh, we have come to Enugu because we want to come and sit and hear you teach. I say, oh, God will work in your life. For you to make such decisions, God is looking for such people. So why are you leaving Enugu? Why are you going to Abuja? I say, there's a church I need to attend for 6 months. The pastor teaches in such a way that I've never heard before. I'll be back in 6 months. Why are you moving to Lagos? There is this particular word I hear. It's not on air. This man preaching in his church doesn't go other places. I need to hear him for 3 months. Say, Lord, put that kind of hunger in me. I'm asking, Lord, let me not be satisfied, but by the filling of the word of God and the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Ask God for that one today. Say, Lord, give me understanding, I shall live. Say, the entrance of your word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Oh, Lord, fill me with understanding. Say, Lord, revive me according to your word. Teach me, oh, Lord, the way of your statutes. Those are the prayers. Those are the prayers. Say, Lord, teach me the way of your statutes. Give me understanding that I may observe thy law. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to the testimonies and not to gain. It's important. Say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Now begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for understanding. For us to know what is most important in life, Lord, we thank you. For us to know what is valuable, Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you for a revival of truth in the church of God. Let's give thanks for that. Say, Lord, we thank you for a revival of truth in the church of God. Lord, we thank you for a revival of truth in the church of God. Let us give him thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Now, please, I want us to take that our initial declaration at the beginning, when I used to start. Let's take it again. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of it, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area.
And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before you read a book, before you read your Bible, before you listen to a message, just declare it. Declare it. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. You know the truth? Many of the problems we are looking, you know, we are trying to solve in life, they will walk away. They will, you know, they'll get uncomfortable with us. You know, one of the ways to get rid of cockroaches, just put light in the place. They will walk away. Many problems in your life, they are cockroaches. In our lives, many times we have problems. Those problems are nothing but cockroaches. We just open the heart and flood it with light. You won't even know. You just know that all this, every 6 months I have malaria. The malaria is not having itself somewhere else. That's gone away. You know, this one that every time I want to sleep, I'm worried about what's going on in the neighborhood. You know, if a car backfires, I wake up, almost have a heart attack. I think they are shooting. All of those things just come to an end simply because the word fills the heart. Before, you couldn't sleep. Now you can't keep awake. Why? The word will just drive insomnia away. Just drive it away. Just drive it away. One of the things I found out some time ago, when I found it hard to sleep for some time, I don't know how it worked, but it worked for me at the end of the day. I said, okay, if I can't sleep, I will hear the word. I said, so if it is Satan that wants to try and keep me awake, good. You know what I found out? Once I put on the message to start listening, the sleep will come. I said, look at this. So one way or the other, I must be blessed. And I'm blessed with my sleep, or I'm blessed with hearing. No, I'm telling you. It works so well now that if I want to sleep, sleep is not coming. I said, okay, no problem. Look for one good message. Put it. The sleep will just say, all right. But one way or the other, I must be blessed. See, there is a point that if I really want to hear a message, I do that a lot. I stand. Just stand. Just put my hand on the cot like this. I'll be playing from there. Because I know if I go lie down and sleep, the Lord is good. What am I saying? Let's open our hearts to the word of God. And many of the problems we are trying to solve, they will just walk away. They will just walk away. Sickness will walk away. Lack of sleep will walk away.
Amen.
Poverty will walk away.
Amen.
Worries will walk away.
Amen.
Confusion will walk away.
Amen.
Healing will come.
Amen.
Abundance will come.
Amen.
Those things are added as we focus on what is most important in life. The Lord is good. Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless somebody beside you. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Another person, please. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. One more person, please. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. One for yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. In the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.